Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, we have here today a real live trauma surgeon, and her name is Dr. Carrie Watson. She is a trauma surgeon at Piedmont Medical Center. We've worked for months to put this interview together.
Happy to be here.
And she is here. She has scheduled her surgeries in such a way that she could be here.
That's right.
And we want to thank you for doing that. So we always start off, Doc, by getting our guests to tell us a little bit about themselves. So go right ahead.
Perfect. So again, my name is Carrie Watson, and I'm actually the Trauma Medical Director and co-ICU Director at Piedmont Medical Center. So I have been here for about 16 months now, and I'm very excited to join the community. I'm originally raised in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I went to the University of Oklahoma there. I did my general surgery in Ohio and ultimately critical care training at the University of Florida Shands Hospital, and worked for about 5 years before coming up here. So I've been here helping to grow the trauma department and try to impact the community in a positive way.
Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina.
That's it.
We're glad to hear. We're glad to hear. So tell everybody, because I think this is interesting, to become a surgeon slash trauma surgeon, what is involved with that? I mean, you obviously did your high school. You have 4 years of undergraduate work, but that's just the beginning?
Correct. So after doing your 4 years of undergrad, typically you move forward with 4 years of medical school. After that, you are choosing a surgical residency, and surgical residency can be anywhere between 5 and 7 years, depending upon whether or not you're doing additional research. So I did 5 years of residency. And then whenever you choose a specialty, you actually have to do additional training. So to do trauma and critical care, it's an additional 1 to 2 years. And so that's what I did at the University of Florida. So that's what brought me here.
So did you ever ask yourself during this journey, is this ever going to end?
I think when you're in it, you're just kind of ready to get to the end of it, you know, and really start your career. But I actually really just love surgery, and I knew this is what I wanted to do. So that saved me a lot of the grief, was knowing that this was what I needed to be doing.
So a trauma surgeon is one that can handle anything that rolls through the door?
So we are the first stop, along with our emergency department team, when a patient rolls through, and we're going to manage everything from airway emergencies with the emergency department crew to anything from the chest, abdomen. So that means gunshot wounds, stabbings. If you're in a car wreck and you have your spleen injured, your colon, your intestine, all of that would come to me. So I would stabilize you, take you to the operating room. If I need to remove an organ. If I need to put in tubes or lines, I would do that. It's also our responsibility to involve the rest of the teams who may benefit. So that could be orthopedic surgery for your bones, the neurosurgeons for your brain and your spine, and then even things like the vascular team or the cardiovascular team if you have an injury to your heart or major vessels.
True or false, not every hospital has a trauma unit?
That is correct. So you have to actually go through verification. So Piedmont was verified as a trauma center in 2019, and there are levels of trauma activations as well as certifications. And pending what your hospital is, kind of determines which patients are going to be able to come, who you can stabilize, and then who ultimately needs to go to a higher level of care.
So when you say part of what your mission is to kind of grow the trauma operation at Piedmont, what does that mean? We're like at a level whatever, and you're trying to take it to another level?
That's right. So we're currently at level 3, and we have actually been able to really keep a lot more people in our community by becoming a trauma center to begin with. But as the community grows, I'm sure everyone's aware how big Rock Hill and Fort Mill, and oh my goodness. So we are so close to Charlotte. The next largest hospital that we have as a trauma center is going to be in Charlotte. So our goal here is to continue to grow so that we can move from a level 3 to a level 2. So that way we can really serve the community, keep people in the hospital. We are adding a lot of specialty services to make that happen, and I'm really proud of where we're at and where we're going.
Well, and it's all about getting the patient to the services that they need as quickly as they can. And if you can do more here, that saves time from getting them up to Charlotte.
Absolutely. If we can manage people here, even if it's just to stabilize them and get them there safely, we're happy to do that. If we can keep people in the community, it's not easy for everyone to travel across state lines, not to mention you put into context money, travel, rehab, all of that. You know, that's all part of medicine. And so obviously, if we can keep people here safely, we want to do that.
Yeah. Have you been on the interstate recently?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Who wants to fight that? No. So you are, with your skill set, you're able basically to handle anything that walks through the door. Now, have you thought about writing a book yet in terms about what has come through that door?
Hey, I agree. I think it would be a collaborative effort with everyone I've worked with. But it's amazing whenever you can, as a trauma surgeon, have people come through the door and it's their worst day and they're in extremis. Their blood pressure's low. They're bleeding. We have to put a breathing tube in them. We have to put tubes in their chest. And then you manage them day in and day out. And you bond with those families. And I could very easily tear up now. When you can see them come back through your office and in the hospital and they're working and they're walking and they made it through, it makes it so worth it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a bond that you can't even describe. And actually, today is National Trauma Survivors Day, today.
Is that right?
That is right. So, yeah, but that's what makes it worth it.
Yeah, seeing somebody come in on a stretcher that you don't know they're going to make it.
That's right.
And then whatever, 3 or 4 weeks later, they're walked back in to give you a hug to say thank you for putting me back together. So one of the things that has been amazing to me to watch over the years is how this hospital has grown its level of services. I mean, it's amazing to me that we now have platforms right here down the street that allow you to do what you do.
Yes.
We do heart surgery, we do brains, all this stuff. It's amazing. And as I mentioned to you before the show, some have said to me in the past that people don't really appreciate what we've got here and what a high level of services are offered by Piedmont Medical Center. Would you agree with that?
I agree. I think over the last probably 5 years or so, there's been a huge increase in the number of providers that are present at Piedmont. Our neurosurgical team is top-notch. They come from the Neuro Metrolina kind of department, and they're absolutely stellar. I mean, we're very lucky to have Ortho Carolina and all these different groups that we work with, and I'm hoping that as more people are coming through Piedmont and we're able to show them that we're here for them and that we're willing to work with the community and really improve ourselves as well, that people are starting to see that.
So, as a doctor, as a trauma surgeon, and I've heard this so many times, it is still amazing how many people don't do simple things to take care of themselves to avoid having to come see you. I think about smoking. I can't even believe people still smoke in today's world, but they do, and apparently you see quite a bit of it here in the Carolinas.
Yes. So, obviously, when it comes to traumas, we're thinking about everything from falls, which is the most common injury that we see, to car wrecks and motorcycle collisions. And then, of course, you think about the penetrating injuries like stabbings and gunshot wounds. So first and foremost, when we think about car wrecks and motorcycles, those simple things like wearing your helmet, wearing your seatbelt, a major one is going to be alcohol and drugs. Unfortunately, the majority of traumas that come through the bay are under the influence of something. And, you know, at this point, when you think about how many people are out there on the streets and young kids and people learning to drive and things of that nature, just being a little conscientious of your surrounding environment, removing those distractions, and doing those easy safety precautions to prevent injuries.
All right, let's take these one at a time. Falls.
It's
interesting we're having this conversation because it was just about 6 weeks ago that I'm walking into Substation 2 and my big foot got in front of my whatever and go down I went. But we're talking about serious falls that can create concussions or whatever.
Yes. So I think a lot of people don't realize that a fall from standing can result in severe injury. If you strike your head, you can have bleeding in the brain. Mm. You can actually have a spinal cord injury from just falling from standing. And a lot of time that's going to be our elderly population. So we do a lot of work for community outreach for fall prevention. Simple things to think about in your home is removing any obstructions in the walkway, picking up rugs, making sure that you have well-lit areas. Handlebars for your older, you know, parents and things to utilize. But that is our number one, is going to be those falls.
Now, one of the things, and I know this is near and dear to your heart, because you were telling me your dad rides a motorcycle.
Yes.
Is this whole issue about helmets. Now, I ride a motorcycle as well. I do wear a helmet. But there's lots of people out there riding who, for some reason, think it's never going to happen to me.
Yes.
And guess what? It does. And then when they come in, ooh, I can't imagine what the trauma surgeon is saying to themselves.
So about 65% of patients that we currently have been treating this year with motorcycle accidents admit to not wearing a helmet. So of those patients who are not wearing a helmet, about 67% ended up with a head or a neck injury because of that. So I know South Carolina does not have a helmet law, but I will tell you, and I think the families of our patients would tell you the same, a lot of those injuries could have been significantly less severe or prevented by wearing that helmet and the appropriate gear. And if you think about wearing your t-shirt and shorts out there, I will tell you, I get major foot injuries, road rash across the entire body. So wearing the appropriate gear is so important for motorcycles.
It is, and as I mentioned to you before, I think about one of the biggest names in motorcycles is Harley Davidson. They're always pushing safety gear, helmets. But we live in an opportunity where you can choose right or wrong, and that can happen.
Choose to wear a helmet.
I mean, because that helmet is what exists between your skull and that asphalt.
Correct.
And they do work.
Yes.
Not saying you're not going to have going off in your head, but it's going to keep your skull from getting cracked up.
And when you have an injury to your head, you know, people think about concussions, but it's long lasting. I mean, they can be lifelong injuries, headaches, difficulty seeing, memory impairment. Sometimes it requires surgery where you actually have to remove part of the skull to drain blood. I mean, these are major injuries that occur. Again, wear your helmet.
You heard it from the doc. Wear your helmet. All right. You also touched on alcohol. Lord have mercy. I just saw the latest numbers on this. The numbers of fatalities in this state of South Carolina consistently are rising. Mm-hmm. Consistently.
Yes.
We got too many people who are killed. And in most of those fatalities, there's 60 or 70% of them involve some type of alcohol. You see this all the time?
Yes. So we have a lot of people around our community are out walking as well. And some of the areas are not lit. And so when you're driving home and you've had a couple of drinks and you're under the influence, it may be a drive that you've taken 100 times and you're not even thinking about it, but it's not just about you. What I would encourage everyone to remember is that it's not just about your safety. It's your family. It's your community. It's your children. We have pedestrians who are struck, meaning people walking across the street because someone didn't see them because they were under the influence. Head-on collisions, major damage. To people because of the impairment they have from drinking alcohol or under the influence of drugs.
I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, I don't understand it. People who go out to celebrate, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you're going to drive,
have a
plan for how you're going to handle this.
Yeah.
I mean, the people that I know in the beer business here in town, they're always pushing that. Responsibility.
Yep. Make sure you're hydrating. If you're at one of our lovely breweries downtown, you know, make sure you have a friend that can come pick you up. Use one of the community shuttles and things like that that are available, and keep yourself hydrated. Be aware of how much you're drinking.
Somebody told me the other day that even though most of beer is water, it ain't the same thing as drinking water.
It is not.
Think you're hydrating with beer, wrong.
Wrong. It actually will dehydrate you. It's a diuretic, so it can actually dehydrate you. Yep.
All right. The other thing that I know you see an awful lot of are gunshot wounds.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about people who are shooting bullets at each other. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about people who own firearms and they don't lock them up. And you see this coming into the emergency room all the time?
Absolutely. And I can appreciate everyone has their own kind of feeling about firearms, but let's just get to it. Be safe. Ultimately, there's been an increase in gunshot violence and wounds across the country, but in our community, it has significantly risen. It's gone from 60% higher from 2019 to 2023. And I think this is the most important part is 5% of all gunshot wound victims have been under the age of 18.
Yeah.
Guys, we're seeing this. We're seeing your preteens. We're seeing your teenagers. COVID did a lot for mental health. And unfortunately, a lot of these young kids were home and not learning how to cope. And if there's access to firearms and it's not being kept away and locked away safely, it doesn't take much for a 16-year-old who is stressed out and not dealing with their stress well. If they know where that firearm is, they react. They are not adults. They do not know how to handle that stress. Our percentage continues to actually increase. From 2020, it's gone from to now 11% to 17%. So again, Be Smart is one of those groups that I really encourage all parents to look at. So that's going to be www.besmartforkids.org. And what this is us encouraging all of you out there who do have firearms that just because you might have the appropriate equipment, you've got to be thinking about those kids. So secure those guns in your home, model responsible behavior, ask about the presence of unsecured guns in other homes, recognize the risks of teen suicide, and tell your peers to be smart. I'm tired of seeing these young kids come through, and if I never have to see another child come through with a self-inflicted gunshot wound, that would make my career.
I bet it would. Oh, my gosh. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, the doctor has been properly instructed. She's smart, and she knows what we're going to do. We do fresh subs and salads, and we do it right here at Substation 2. And there's a magical way that keeps drawing the masses in here. At the count of three, we're going to say it, tell it to everybody who hasn't heard it already. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
What's new at Substation 2 is not on the menu board. It's on your phone.
This is Charlie Ruffalo.
Go to the App Store, download our new app, order the best sub anywhere online, and it'll be ready when you arrive. And don't forget the free stuff you get with our new rewards program. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Now open, the new Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, featuring personalized and comprehensive obstetrical services, 24/7 emergency care, and skilled surgeons who know the importance of getting to know you and your family. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, providing care for the Fort Mill community by your local community. Care that feels like home, close to home. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com/Fort Mill.
Finally, there's a rising rate you can get excited about. For a limited time, only 15-month certificates and IRAs at Founders Federal Credit Union have reached super levels. A $500 deposit is all it takes to make these rising rates work for you. Hurry on over to foundersfcu.com/superrates today to see just how super these rates are. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. Membership qualification required. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's new at Substation 2 is not on the menu board. It's on your phone. Go to the App Store, download our new app, order the best sub anywhere online, and it'll be ready when you arrive. And don't forget the free stuff you get with our new rewards program. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Carrie Watson is with us. She's the medical director of the trauma program at Piedmont Medical Center, which means whatever comes through that door, she's ready. And she's going to fix you right up and get you well.
That's right.
So this whole business about medicine fascinates me. I've said to people time and time again, if you have to be sick and you can't do anything about it, you couldn't be living in a better time in the history of medicine to be able to deal with all the things that are out there. So from a technology standpoint, if you just look at what was available maybe when you were just thinking about going into medicine versus what you now know after all these years.
Absolutely.
It's got to be the difference between night and day.
Oh, it is. So I actually, when I was going through my training, I was still doing handwritten charts, which which to any of the students coming through now, that's unheard of. So, you know, I kind of grew up and got to see a lot of change occur from the use of EHR, which is these electronic health records that we are now all kind of used to. But also when it comes to advances in technology, robotics, I mean, my goodness, in my field, robotics was just really starting to become a thing. And I initially learned to train on the S robot, and then it was an SI, and now it's an XI, and now there's all these versions of the robot. But it's really allowed a lot of specialty surgeons to do procedures in a minimally invasive way where people can get out of the hospital faster. We're talking everything from bariatric surgery to colon surgeries to gynecological surgeries and urologic surgeries. So the robot really has just completely overhauled surgery.
So people understand now. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about something you see on TV that...
No.
It's just a way that you are using mechanics to do things you couldn't do with your hands?
Correct. So the reason the robot is a little bit different is you have the full, like, 360 degree of motion. So it's tiny incisions that we put these ports through, and then you're able to use instruments, but it's the surgeon who's actually operating on you. It's not a robot, which I do think some people, you know, might think that. But we actually sit at a console, and we're able to manipulate those instruments to do the surgery that we need to do. But we can see very clearly. You can get very close to structures way down in the pelvis, way up in the abdomen. And it just offers another way to really get a full picture of what's going on while you're doing surgery.
Do you ever watch Chicago Med?
No. I'll be honest. I avoid a lot of the medical
shows. I mean, I've seen it. And we're in this world now where everybody's talking about AI.
Oh, yes.
And I'm sitting here wondering, when you look at something like Chicago Med,
yes,
they have this surgical suite that has some kind of a brain, electronic brain out there, that is basically doing all kinds of measurements, telling the surgeon to try this instead of that. I mean, I don't think that's too far from reality.
I cannot even imagine. I would not be surprised. Where I'm actually most excited about AI is whenever we're seeing our patients. I think a lot of patients get frustrated where we're on computers a lot of the time, and electronic records have made it a little bit more difficult for us to, you know, talk to the patient, do your note, and get everything done. I think where AI is headed, where it can automatically create a note while you're talking to your patient so that you never have to look away from the patient and you can leave the room and everything is done with a plan, I think that's what's going to really be the next step. And I think that that's going to benefit everyone across medicine.
I tell you what also amazes me about medicine is how you are able to do more and more and more without cutting somebody open.
Yes.
You make a little hole here, and next thing you know, you got instruments inside of you, and somehow, Mr. Wizard, whatever it is,
absolutely,
you're doing all this stuff.
No, so the other kind of realm of medicine that's had a huge overhaul would be vascular and cardiovascular, where you can now do things endovascular, which is what you're describing, where you make a small incision, you know, put a catheter through the groin, through the arm, and you're able to stent and fix aneurysms and narrowing of the vessels and a lot of these procedures that used to be huge open surgeries. So it is pretty amazing. It blows my mind sometimes whenever I see what some of my colleagues are able to do, for sure.
Jeez. So where do you, I know you have to go off to conferences and what have you.
Yes.
Where they, you know, you get the latest and the greatest.
Yeah.
What are they talking about that really is a sizzle to you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, and I would say in the world of trauma, it's always talking about how we can get people stabilized and out of the hospital faster. So that's going to be things like rib plating for patients who have broken ribs, better blood utilization. So there's a huge hot topic right now on using medications called TXA or medicines that may prevent bleeding from getting worse, as well as what we call massive transfusion, and looking at the outcomes of patients who are getting a lot of blood and what are the concerns that we might have for, you know, once they've received that amount. I also go to a lot of the critical care conferences. Now that can get pretty amazing. Some of the technology coming across, a lot of push for use of ultrasound to guide therapy, to look at how people are being resuscitated, meaning their fluid status, things of that nature. And then always talking about ventilators and best timing to get people off the ventilator, medications and treatments, all of that.
So you lived through COVID.
I sure did.
Any lessons that you, as a physician, learn from that?
So what I would say is medicine is truly a team sport, and you have to have all members on, you know, working together simultaneously to make the patient experience a positive one and to get people better. And, you know, COVID stressed the system. We all know that. But what I really came to realize is how much each individual person really does impact that patient's care. And then what I will say to everyone out there who's not in medicine is all of those decisions you're making in your, we call them comorbidities, but not taking your medicines appropriately, you know, not keeping your diabetes under control, the smoking, all of that, it impacts even small things. An infection may become significantly worse for you if you're not in control of some of those medical issues that you're already dealing with. So really go out there and see your primary care providers, please, because it prevents a small thing from becoming a big thing.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's next week is EMS week.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about the frontline people
during
COVID. My God.
My goodness.
Woo! And they were the ones who were out there taking care of everybody. And, of course, the healthcare industry across the country has suffered as a result of COVID.
Yes.
We've had too many people get out of the field,
right?
Because they think there's still some kind of lingering whatever there.
Yeah.
And you would say to them, uh-uh.
I would say it's time to come back. Where we need to keep moving forward with medicine is a combined front, and start getting us back to kind of normal. You know, our nurses make a huge impact on our patient care, and we're hiring, by the way. But we need everyone. You know, COVID is not the immediate threat anymore. It's all of the other issues that are a result from the stress that COVID did to the system. But you know, those of us that are here, we're in it for the long haul. We love what we do, and we're ready to get things back to where they need to be.
And they do it very well. And as you were pointing out a little bit earlier, for those who are wondering why my elective surgery is not going to be done tomorrow, but it's going to be done 6 or 8 weeks from now. The reason is?
Staffing and all the backlogs. So, unfortunately, a lot of cases had to get moved or canceled because of COVID and materials issues. And then you take into consideration any emergent or urgent cases, cancers or other emergencies that have to go immediately. Unfortunately, because of nursing and not having that availability, it does impact your surgical scheduling. So, nurses out there, we are ready for you.
Hey, I heard right from the horse's mouth. Okay. Well, listen, you've done very well on your first. Is this your very first radio interview?
Second.
Second?
I know.
How could that be? Possible. All right. Well, I hope we can get you back here again sometime.
We'd love to.
I've enjoyed the time together.
Well, thank you so much.
And that is going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented, of course, by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Of course, one more time, she did such a swell job. We want to make sure we don't miss this opportunity. We do fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week. We do it between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. And Dr. Watson over here is going to tell us how it's done at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.